I believe Jesus wants to speak to every single one of us. Every single one of us. Not just through a preacher, not just through someone else, but he wants to personally speak to us. Amen? And knowing his voice, who knows that he wants us to know his voice from other voices? He wants his voice to be the loudest in our lives, right? But knowing his voice comes from intimacy with Jesus. It comes from being close with Jesus. If you notice, if I send Matthias over there and I'm just talking normal, Matthias is not going to hear me on the other side of the wall. Why? Because he's not close to me. But as I get closer, I begin to understand and discern his words. And the same thing goes when we encounter the Lord. The same thing goes when we get more intimate with the Lord. When we take away those things, take away the noise that is being created in our life, and we throw it aside because we want to be closer to him, and we start to hear his voice more clearly. Amen? Intimacy is a process. Intimacy is something we work on. Like, you don't just get married to a person one day. It's just like, oh, I'm going to marry you today. And never met the person. No, you get to know them. You become friends. You get to know what they like, what they don't like. Jesus is the same way. He has things he likes and he doesn't like. He has things he loves and he doesn't love. Jesus has personal feelings. Jesus has a heart like you and me. And his desire for us is to know his heart. Is we were singing to be one with him. His desire is to be one with him. We can hear God's voice. Why? It says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. Are you a sheep of the Lord? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. To be in his pen, that means you have been saved through Christ. That means you have surrendered to Christ. That means you have salvation. And if you have salvation and are surrendered to him, you have the right to hear his voice. Why? Because you are his sheep and he is your good shepherd. Everybody who considers themselves saved and having Jesus as their Lord and Savior should be able to hear the voice, because it says, my sheep hear my voice. Do you hear him today? And I can even say, you've probably heard him, because the only way you got saved is because you heard him call you to you. That's the only way you got saved. So you've heard him once before. You've already heard him once. But the thing is, what we need to train is to know his voice, is to discern his voice, is to recognize what's his voice and what's not his voice. We are his sheep and he is our good shepherd. He leads us. Now it's important to understand, we have three voices in our lives. The voice of the enemy, the voice of God, and then our own voice. And it's so important to discern those things if we want to walk by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Because we have Holy Spirit who speaks to us. Yes, he speaks to us through people. He speaks to us through sermons. He speaks to us in all these ways, but he wants to personally speak to you, and he wants to lead you by his voice. When he gets sheep, he doesn't just say, all my sheep, come follow me, right? Yeah, he says that, but I believe he knows you by name. Do you know that? It says, I know them. He means I don't know them just as a church. I don't just know them as new generation youth. It means he knows Julian. He knows Matthias. He knows you. He knows Mark. He knows you. He knows every sheep and he wants to lead. He's like, Matthias, I want you to do this. Matthias, man, I love you so much. He's so personal. He's not just, oh, welcome congregation, I love you all. He wants to personally speak to you as an individual sheep. If one sheep goes, he doesn't say to the whole sheep, Where are you guys going? Come. If one sheep goes, he speaks to that sheep personally. He doesn't speak to them. So he wants to speak to us personally. And the way we can discern, I mean, the voice of the enemy is easy to discern. Why? Because it brings fear into our lives. Fear is not from God. It brings condemnation. What is condemnation? Condemnation means, oh wow, you did it again. This is who you are. The enemy tries to put ourselves where we were before him. He says, the way you were before Christ, that's how you are right now. And that is a complete lie. This is a complete lie. I mean, we've had so many people, I feel like, come in, right? We've had Matt McCluskey teach on this. And I love the way he teaches on hearing the voice of God. A lot of this stuff, man, he's taught me. And this is the Holy Spirit teaching us. Right? We have a right to hear God's voice. Why? Because the veil has been torn in two. In the Old Testament, prophets heard God's voice, right? But now we are able to hear his voice because we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. The enemy speaks from fear and condemnation, but God speaks from the fruits of the Spirit. He can speak conviction. What does conviction mean? Conviction means like, man, you really shouldn't do that because you're made for greater than this. It calls you higher. It gives you a way out. Where in condemnation says, this is how you are. You're muddy. You're dirty. You're going to stay that way. That's condemnation. That's what the devil is going around to kill, steal, and destroy. What does he want to kill? He wants to kill and steal and destroy our peace, our joy, our righteousness, which is all found in Christ. That's what the enemy wants to do. And when he speaks to us, that's what his agenda is, to kill, steal, and destroy. But God's agenda is to comfort. It's to call you higher, saying, son, get up from your bike. Let's learn to ride this bike well. Keep getting up. You're going to get better. You're going to turn into something I'm making you into. Oftentimes we can recognize the voice of God is through the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. His voice has fruit. His seed is good. It produces fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. When God speaks to you, you should recognize the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So when he speaks to us, that's how we can recognize his voice. Does it do this? Does it produce this? Does it give me this feeling? Or does it make me feel fearful? And then we have our voice, of course. And oftentimes that's where people are stuck. Is this me speaking or is this God speaking? Right? And we'll get to how we are able to discern that later. Get rid of the noise. You want to hear God's voice? Who wants to hear God's voice? Like, for themselves personally. See, I'm not talking about right now to get a word for someone. Like, I love that. I love getting words for people. I love hearing God's voice for people. But I want to hear God's voice for myself. I need to know God's voice for myself. I want to be led by God. I want to be so dependent on him that I know his voice. That means I know I'm intimate with him. By recognizing his voice, by him saying something, I'm obeying it and it works out. Why? And I know, like, God, thank you so much. I feel closer to you. I feel like I'm being led by you. That's what he wants us to be. Be one with him. He wants to lead us, right? So get rid of the noise. What is noise in your life? Negative. Guys, if I could ask you right now, what prevents you from hearing God's voice? Or better yet, what prevents you from reading the Bible? Thoughts, distractions, I mean, you have a whole ocean of them. A whole pool full of them, right? And God, we preached on this, we've talked about this, is to throw off every weight and sin that easily entangles us, right? So get rid of the noise, whatever that is. If that's social media, guys, the easiest way to get rid of it, delete it. I'm saying, where like always, you know, I'm going to keep the app because I need to talk to people. Like, I'm not going to log back in. Yeah. I've tried, bro. It doesn't happen like that. There's always a temptation. She'll just get rid of it. I love Nick. Nick shared this example with me. If you're trying to close a door, don't just close the door. Get rid of the hallway to it. So you'll not even be able to reach it. Get rid of the hallway. Get rid of the place where you enter. Get rid of the place where you enter porn in. Or get rid of the place where you feel fearful. Get rid of the place where you compare yourself to others. Comparison will kill you. Because it's not making you more into Christ. It's you trying to make yourself more like someone else. So get rid of the noise. That's what prevents us. Is us filling our minds with so much other things except the Word of God and His Spirit. He wants to renew our minds. It says, do not be conformed, but be what? Transformed by the renewal of your mind. Renewing of the mind comes with the washing of the Word. His voice is His presence. Did you know that? His voice is His presence. I cannot separate your voice from your presence. If I'm speaking, that means I'm in the room. If God is speaking, that means His presence is behind His words. Like He's there. So when we can be encouraged that when He speaks to our hearts, that means He's right here with us. He's right there inside of us. That's how close He is. You cannot separate God's voice from His presence. In a relationship, the goal is relationship with Him. To hear His voice, that's the goal of that is to be in relationship with God. Is to become closer. That's the goal of hearing His voice. Here, I think it's really cool to hear His voice because it's like, wow, bro, super spirit. No, His goal is relationship with you. That's why we want to hear His voice, to be closer, to be in relationship. If you're in a relationship, you don't have a monologue with someone, you have a dialogue. I say something, you say something back. We share our feelings, we share our desires, we share our dreams, we share our interests, we share our likes, our dislikes. And the same thing goes with the Lord. He wants to have that with us. His voice brings us closer to Him. It draws Him. When He tells a sheep to come here, the sheep comes here. His voice always brings us closer to Him. It never pushes us away. It embraces us. That's another way we can discern. The enemy will push you away from God's presence, but God's voice will push you into His presence. So 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and earnestly desire gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So we're talking about hearing God's voice. But first of all, guys, I want a desire birthed in you to hear God's voice for yourself. Before you prophesy to someone, before you give someone a word, which I love and that encourages so many people. But we must have a desire ourselves to have a relationship and hear God's voice for ourselves. In here it says, pursue love. We are to pursue love, which comes from God, for God is love. And as we pursue to love God, which He manifested through Jesus, redeeming us on the cross, we have love for one another. That's how we have love. Through recognizing His love, through pursuing His love. God, I'm going to pursue the cross until I understand what You did for me on that cross. I'm going to pursue Your love until I understand what You did for me. And it's manifested by Jesus dying for us. That's how His love is manifested to us. It says, pursue love. Before you do all of this, before you earnestly desire spiritual gifts, before that you prophesy, pursue Me, My love. When you get His love, you get love for people because He is love. You can't love people without God's help. It's so hard. It's so hard. Upon this foundation of love and His word, upon the foundation of love, His word, and the gospel, we can build a prophetic culture. Because I believe the Lord is stirring something up in this youth to have a prophetic culture. But again, we can't have that culture if we don't have a culture of His love. We can't prophesy in love if we ourselves do not understand and receive His love. We want to move in the gifts. I want to move in the gifts so bad. But this is the thing. We must have the motive of love. We must have the foundation of love. And love only comes from the Father. So if you do not know His love, man, you need to encounter His love. You need to pursue it. Say, God, I want to know Your love so much more than anything else. Your love matters. Because guess what? If you feel not loved by others, not loved, rejected, His love is the answer for you. Nothing else. You know, people run to other people. Man, I just want someone to love me. Some people go get a bunch of girlfriends, get boyfriends, get in the cycle of going through people, searching for love, or start doing other things, or getting into addictions, looking for that satisfaction. But I have something to tell you. You're not going to find satisfaction in that. You must encounter His love. If you move with compassion, if you want to move in healing, Jesus, when He moved in healing, guess what? He loved the person He was healing. That's love drove Him to that person. Love turned, He had compassion towards that person. If you want to see healings, build it upon His love. Understand, man, the Father's heart for this person is to heal them. And that's why I'm going to do it, based upon His love for that person. Not based upon making a show out of it. Not based upon, let me get some YouTube views. Let me post this on my story. No, but because of His love, and He is worthy of the reward. He is worthy of the glory and praise for that healing. That's what we should be driven by, is by His love. See, prophecy is hearing His voice. And prophetic goes into many things. Prophetic can go to healing, words of knowledge, whatever. But the thing is, to hear His voice, we must know the Father's heart. Because His voice always comes from His heart. God is not some disconnected. He's not going to, oh, you know, how you talk to people and like, oh, this guy's not speaking from the heart. He's just speaking His mind, right? You've encountered people. God, when He speaks from His heart. He's not a faker. He's not one to just, I'm going to say something else and this something. When He speaks, He means it and is from His heart. So when He speaks to our heart, this is what my heart is saying for this person. That's when we are able to release the prophetic. Because we understand His heart. It's not of our own wisdom. It's not of our own heart, but it's of His heart. And the thing, we need to be close to His heart to know His heart. And the way we know His heart is through reading His word, is through beholding Him in worship, and through having a relationship. No married couple say, oh, I got intimate just because, you know, we talked a couple times. No, they got intimate because they started to know each other's heart. Receiving His heart for someone and declaring it to their life. I'm saying, if God speaks to your life, you'll know when God speaks to your heart, like, it'll break you. So many times, man, receiving a word, it will break you. It will bring life. His word is what created this world. It brings life. So when He speaks into our hearts, it makes us come alive. We receive it and we're like, wow, that was God speaking to me right there. Whoa, that revelation, that was God speaking to me right there. He reveals His heart to us. And as He reveals His heart, we're able to reflect His heart. Revelation of His heart comes to reflection of His heart. Thank you, Lord. It says in Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What is the testimony of Jesus? What He did for us. What He did on this earth, what He did in the Bible, that is the testimony of Jesus. It is written for you. And this is why it's the spirit of prophecy, because Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. What He did back then, He is still doing. Prophecy, whenever you have a word, is always in that context of what Jesus did. It's always in His redemptive work on the cross. When we hear His voice, if there's something outside the gospel, guess what? That ain't His voice. It says that in Galatians. If you receive a gospel that is from an angel or from me, that is different than the one we declare to you. Do not receive it. So any voice that is not in the context of the gospel, of God's word, that is not God's voice. This is why he desires for this to become our bread. Because the same bread he feeds us with is the same bread that sustains us and that helps us hear his voice. And I love this. Prophecy or hearing his voice is a gift. It's not a reward. You can't earn hearing his voice. Did you know that? It is not a sign of maturity, moving in a gift or hearing his voice. Like, some of the people who just get saved, they easily recognize his voice. It doesn't have to do in maturity. It's so funny because sometimes, oh, I've been in the faith for 20 years, but I don't know his voice. That happens. Like, how do I discern God's voice? And maybe it's a lack of teaching. Maybe it's a lack of activity. I don't know what it is. But hearing his voice is not something we earn. It's a privilege he's already given to us. When you become a sheep, he's already your shepherd speaking to you. So everybody can hear his voice. There's nobody that is left out from hearing his voice. And I hope this stirs you up to hear his voice. Because when you hear his voice, something changes. Something changes. It says the Spirit is hovering over the waters. The waters represent our heart in the beginning in Genesis. His Spirit hovering over the waters. And when God speaks, the Spirit starts to manifest. When God speaks to our hearts, something begins to manifest. Something begins to come into fruition. Acts 2:17, it says, in the last day it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. This says all flesh. It says sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. What is this talking about? Sons, and are you considered a son? Holla. Are you considered a daughter? Holler. Come on. That means we have the ability to hear, receive the Father's heart and proclaim it to this world. Imagine if you can receive the Father's heart and proclaim it when you preach the gospel. Not just preach the gospel like, oh, this is book knowledge, but preach the gospel from his heart. Preach the gospel by his Spirit, by his strength, by his might. Not by your wisdom, not by your eloquence, your nice words, but by his Spirit. When you reveal the Father, like, you want someone, when someone gets saved, it's not because you necessarily preach so well or something. It's because God showed his heart for that person and called him into his heart. That's why a person gets saved. Not because of your heart for them, but because of God's heart for them. That's why it's so anybody, guys, anybody can preach the gospel. Anyone can hear his voice. You just have to be willing. God, I want to hear your voice. I'm not going to depend on my own self. I'm not going to depend on my self-righteousness, on my wisdom, what I know to do. I want to depend on you. If it's not you, I don't want to do it. We have to come to that place of death. If it's not you, I don't want to do it. That's a place of death. Why? Because it's death to self. It's death to self. And it's an awesome place, guys. Death to self is an awesome place. That is where true freedom abides. That is where true freedom is found. When you die to yourself, when you die to sin, sin can't have any power on you. Yes, we fall, but guess what? You can be free from the struggle of sin. I mean, addiction can go away. Lust can go away. Those things can go away. There, when you die to self, when you're like, God, take me. I surrender all. Oh, Lord. Come on. 1 Corinthians 14:4. I hope this is stirring. This is stirring up so much faith in me, guys. To see God move mountains in our youth. To see God move mountains in your life. To see people healed, set free, delivered, and just ignited for the gospel. Ignited for his kingdom. 1 Corinthians 14:4. So hearing his voice or prophecy, right, is always to edify the church. It's always to build the church. When we hear his voice, it's to build the church. Notice that. His voice builds the church, but destroys the kingdom of darkness. If it's not building, if the this is how we can recognize the Father's heart, guys. If it's building the church, if it's building his bride, if it's building this community, if the person you're sharing this word to, it builds them up, not tears them down. Builds them up in faith, builds them up in holiness, builds them, calls them deeper into intimacy with God. That's how we build each other up. Not saying, wow, because you do this, you're not going to get closer to God, blah, 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 blah. No, we are to call them up higher. Amen? Prophecy builds. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, it's for edification, which means to build up, exhortation to encourage, to call near, to call into. Consolation means to cheer them up. So it always is within that. It encourages, it exhorts, which means, I mean, I never knew what exhort meant until like recently, kind of like a couple last years. You call them like to something higher. You encourage them. It's like, hey man, like I see this, but I see you're getting called into something higher. Like you're encouraging them towards bigger things, towards getting closer to God. You know? I always thought it was just encouragement, but the Lord's been teaching me it's a call. It can even have like a little bit of conviction to it. Correction. See, when we get a word that we know someone is sinning, or if God says, wow, you're sinning. I mean, he doesn't say, wow, he's not surprised. But when he says, you're sinning, right? He's not like, okay, he says, I encourage you to go into more purity. Get rid of that sin and go into more purity. In the same way, when we know that someone is sinning, maybe has a lust problem or has some other problem, lying problem. It's like, man, I just... Really, you don't say, yeah, you're lusting a lot and you need to fix that. Stop it. Stop your behavior. Or like, oh, wow, I see you're lying a lot. You need to really stop that. You know, we want to release the Father's heart. So it's like, you know, the Lord is encouraging to step into purity. And there's some things maybe in your life that you need to fix before him. And see, that gives them a way that's like, wow, God, you're inviting me into a higher level with you. Or the same way is like, man, I feel like the Lord wants you just to step into more truth and honesty with him. And see, it always encouraged them to get closer to God. It's not saying, wow, well, like, you're this person, you're going to stay there. No, it encourages them. Amen? I love this, man. His voice is everything, guys. If we don't hear his voice in our lives, our lives are going to be so dead. So not full of color. Our lives are going to be dull, but his voice brings color to our lives. When Jesus speaks, the waves are calmed down. When Jesus says, I am he, soldiers fall down. When Jesus speaks, that's all you need in your life. If you're looking for an answer, look for it from Jesus. Because when he speaks, he's enough. He's enough. His voice is enough. See, he speaks. And I love the way the Lord never just is like, I only speak to you this way. He speaks to us many ways. He speaks through us through visions, through dreams, through a still small voice in our heart. Right? He can speak through us. Not he can speak, but he speaks through us through his word. Through his word. He speaks to us. This word can bring life into your soul, can bring breakthrough into your life. Are you willing to hear it though? Are you taking time to hear it? See, if I want to hear someone's heart out, guess what? I have to make an appointment with them, sit down with them, and hear their heart out. Oh, I have a desire to hear your heart out, but I'm never going to meet with you. That doesn't work that way, guys. And God is the same way. If we want to know his heart, he wants to meet with us. He wants us to sit down. He wants us to listen to his heart for us. Listen to his heart for this world. Listen to his heart for the lost. It begins with a revelation. And a revelation, guys, is simply him revealing his heart. It's nothing new. When we say new revelation, technically, it's nothing new. It's something that's revealed. He revealed. It was covered, we didn't see it, and then he reveals it to us, and then we see it. That's his voice. When he reveals his heart for someone, when he reveals his heart for us, when he reveals salvation for somebody, that's a revelation. It all begins with a revelation. For yourself, hearing an answer, that begins with, he reveals something. He had the answer, it just has been revealed to it. Does that make sense? There's so many ways of, I mean, you can get all kinds of words from all kinds of people, right? You can get some out there words. There's ways to discern that. And again, we already talked about it. We talked about condemnation, fear, if it's not of the fruit of the Spirit. Definitely if it's not in the context of context of the gospel. My knees are burning for some reason. Do someone's knees hurt right now? Yeah? Let's pray for her knee. My knees are burning up right now. So lay your hands on Nastya. Lord, right now we proclaim healing to those knees, restoration to those knees. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for your redemption, Lord. We thank you for your for the price you paid, God. And we proclaim healing and restoration to the knees right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Do they hurt? No, be honest, though. It still hurts? What's wrong with it? Your meniscus, on which knee? Right knee? Left? Left? Okay, let's pray again. Lord, right now I ask that you would restore that meniscus, God, to the full, Lord, that there would be wholeness right now in Jesus' mighty name, that there every pain would leave right now. I command every pain by the authority of Jesus to leave right now, and I proclaim you as the healer over Nastya's life, Lord. I thank you for your love for her, God. I thank you for her love, Lord. For your love for her, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. How does it feel? It's better? It doesn't hurt anymore at all? No? Okay. Praise God. Guys, I don't know what's going on. Like, honestly, I feel so... Lord, thank you. Man, I just want to already go and worship right now. Yeah, let's worship him. Just two people right now. We're just going to set our gaze upon him. We're going to worship him. Just close your eyes and just worship doesn't mean you have to stand or anything. I feel the Holy Spirit right now. Jesus. You can play that thing from before. Man. Starts with the revelation, guys. He wants to speak to all of us. See, and sometimes we'll get pictures for people, right? We'll get pictures for people and we don't understand them. And we just give it to a person and they'll understand what that picture is. Or they'll just put it on the shelf. Interpretation belongs to God. Interpretation. So he'll give you discernment if he speaks to you, if he gives you a picture. And when I mean a picture, he gives you a picture in your mind, in the eye of your mind. So it's like, it's kind of imagination. This is the thing. I love this because Matt shared this and this was so freeing. How many times does our imagination, how many times does the enemy use our imagination against us? He makes you imagine bad things. He makes you imagine sin. He makes you imagine all these things. Guess what? God didn't just give you an imagination so you can come up with creative things. God gave you an imagination to speak to you as well. When he sanctifies our minds, we're able to trust in our minds that the pictures he gives us are from him. He wants to use our imagination for him. So when we pray for someone and we get a picture, don't worry about what it means necessarily. If you're like, man, I just see this person in a desert or whatever. I mean, the Lord gives interpretation to that. That's how he speaks to us. Oh Lord, we worship you right now. See, it can't rest on our wisdom. It can't say, and like, oh, I've seen this before. No, like God is speaking in ways that he wants to. And we have to give his word for what it is. We don't want to add ourselves to it. Does that make sense? We don't want to add ourselves. We don't want to add our own selves to it. It rests in God's wisdom. And God's wisdom seems like foolishness to man sometimes. Do not quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 59. Do not quench the Spirit. What does this mean? The Spirit does not want to be quenched. He wants to overflow. He wants to move. The Spirit wants to move so bad. The Spirit wants to move in our lives. The Spirit wants to speak in our lives. The Spirit wants to manifest in our lives. And it says, do not despise prophecies. When God speaks to you, do not despise it. Whether it be a prophecy for yourself, whether it be a prophecy for someone else, whether it be a prophetic act, whether it be whatever. And it says, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. Sure, sometimes it's not going to be a perfect thing because it's a perfect word coming through an imperfect person. But this is the thing. The Lord says, hold fast to what is good. You don't have to take everything, but you can take what you know is the Lord's. And we test it by time. We test it by his word. And it will take risk. It will take risk, guys. Hearing his voice takes faith. If you receive a word, guess what? It's impossible to please God without faith. So when we hear his voice, we must step out on it. It says, son, I have a parachute. Jump out of the plane. You have to trust that you have a parachute and jump. So I don't even want to finish it because I feel like I shouldn't. So right now we're just going to go into worship, and I believe he's going to speak to our hearts. And I also want to encourage, if you've never like experienced listening to the voice of God, like you have experienced it, you just need to recognize his voice. So right now we're just going to set our eyes on him. We're going to worship him, and then we're going to ask him some things, and I believe he's going to speak to us. I just want us to recognize his voice, okay? So Lord, we worship you right now. Just behold who he is. You can think of him, of his holiness, of his worthiness. Think of him as a healer. Think of him as a savior. Lord, you are holy, Jesus. We worship you. We behold you, God. We agree with who you are. You are faithful, God. You are a peacemaker, God. You're the Prince of Peace. You split the seas, God. You calm the storm, Jesus. You are holy, Jesus. You are holy, Lord. You are worthy of everything, Lord. Through you, all things were made, Jesus. You are the good shepherd that speaks to our voice. You are the good shepherd that leads us beside still waters and into green pastures, Jesus. Jesus. We worship you. You'll even notice an ease right now of how easy it's to focus on him. Just like, don't stay there. Like, go deeper with him right now. Go deep into his heart, and you'll see his heart is so, it's so magnificent. It's so glorious. His heart is so big. His heart is so full of him. It's so full of his joy. It's so full of his peace. It says, in the presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His heart is fullness of joy. In His voice, there is joy when He speaks to us. And His joy, and His voice is very gentle to us. Lord, we thank You for Your gentleness. We thank You, Lord, that You're a good Father who disciplines His children, but You discipline, Lord, with Your love, with Your gentleness, God. We thank You for Your gentleness. Jesus, we worship You. Now, mostly the Lord speaks to me, I mean, obviously through His Word, but when we're trying to hear His voice, He speaks like inside our man, inside our spiritual man. And oftentimes it sounds like your conscience, it kind of sounds like your thoughts, but it's still different. Like, and as you, I like this example, it's Matt shared it actually, that when you're a child and you learn to draw, like color on the page, you sometimes get outside the lines a little bit. But as you start to practice, as you start to color more, you get inside the lines and the picture becomes more clear. And this is the same way with God's voice. We must step out in faith. We must experience. He calls us into a season where we test His voice, where we step out in risk and say, oh, okay, that was God's voice. That was my voice. And that's the way we're able to discern His voice. So right now, Lord, we pray that You would speak to us right now, God. That You would speak to us, God. And just one way we can do this is ask Him how much He loves you. And He'll answer. And it might sound like, oh no, that's just me thinking about. No, trust that is His voice. Just ask Him right now, how much do You love me? We'll take just some time. Some people He might speak for a while. Lord, how much do You love us? How much do You love me? Saying this will bring healing to your hearts for people who felt rejected or alone. His love will heal and cast out that fear. Thank you, Jesus. With eyes closed, who feels like they heard the Lord speak to them? And it's okay if you didn't. Awesome. So let's ask another question to the Lord. And we'll ask Him, Lord, what is something You did in my week that I saw You move in? And maybe He'll just remind you of a moment like, oh, I made this person encourage you, or this prayer reached you, or what is a way that you moved in my life this past week, whether it be a healing or something. And watch as He reminds you of that moment.